There are two seats over here if you want to just go over there. Would you like to turn in your Bibles now to page 1083, number 1083. That'll take you into the first letter of John in the New Testament. The Apostle John by now was quite an old man. He's writing to Christians. I just want to look at the first sentence in chapter 3 and verse 1 on page 1083. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. So just now I was holding in my arms a fairly newborn baby, and since Sophie, two even newer babies have been born in our congregation. So what a wonder is the gift of life. It's a miracle, isn't it? Every time it happens. And of course a baby can't be born without you knowing about it. Ask the mum especially. And the births are all different, and some are slower, and some are more painful than others are, and some are quite dramatic. Ask Clifton about Sophie's birth, and he'll tell you. I think he'll admit that Becky did have some part to play in it as well. But when a baby is born, it begins to breathe, it begins to cry, begins to feed. It does all kinds of new things. So it's not surprising to find in the Bible that what we call new birth, it's a picture of becoming a Christian. It's something that happens. It's something that you know about. It happens in different ways to different people, but it happens. You don't just drift into it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's new life, and new things happen. What I want to say to you this morning is really very simple, and that is that you can't really enjoy and appreciate and celebrate Christmas until you're born again. If you want it in theological language, then there's a relationship between Jesus' incarnation and our regeneration. There's a connection between Jesus' birth and our new birth. Now, the message of Christmas is that the Son of God became a human being. It's just mind-blowing truth. Two times in this passage, John tells us why Christmas happened. In verse 5 he says, you know that he appeared to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. That's why Christmas happened. He appeared to take away our sins. That's the really staggering thing about Christmas. Here's a human baby, and in him there is no sin. He's the God-man. He's born of a virgin. It's real humanity. He's conceived in the womb of a woman. He's attached to his mother by his umbilical cord. He's one of us. But at the same time, he's the Son of God. He's God incarnate. And he appeared, John says, to take away our sins. That's why he came. That's what Christmas is all about. And in the second part of verse 8 in this passage, John says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Now, the works of the devil that Jesus came to destroy are the works of sin. Jesus came into the world on a demolition job. He came to destroy. He was born in Bethlehem to destroy our worst enemy. And that was an assignment that would take him all the way to the cross. There was no other way for him but the way of the cross. And bit by bit in his holy life, Jesus would dismantle the power of evil, and he would do it for us. So what is John celebrating in this passage? And he is celebrating. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. John uses this word, behold. And it's in the Bible when there's something really to gaze at, to look at. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. And another angel said to the shepherds, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. There's something to look at Christmas. And John says the thing to look at is the love of God. Have you got that? The thing to look at Christmas is the love of God. What manner of love is this, he says. And the word that's translated manner there, what manner of love, it originally means of what country. This kind of love is so foreign to this world. It's so different. It's so unknown. John wonders what planet it's come from. You know, Jesus' disciples used the same word when Jesus calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. What manner of man is this? Where does he come from? Even the winds and the waves obey him. You see, the love of God is out of this world. And yet it appears right in this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. About 100 years ago, some words were found on the walls of a cell in one of those places that they used to call an asylum. And the words were these: could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And you say, well, the person who wrote that wasn't mad. And if he or she was, then we need that kind of madness, don't we? To explore the love of God. We're out of our depth, you know, in the love of God. It's just heart-stopping that God's love should make us children of God. A love that rescues us from judgment and from hell. Well, that is wonderful love. But a love which actually puts us in the family. It's a great thing to be in a family, isn't it? But to be in the family of God. To have Jesus as your brother and as your friend and as your saviour. What a thing that is. It's a love to blow us away, is the love of God. And to experience this love, if you want to experience this love, there are some things you need to know. And the first is this, that the love of God comes to people who are dead in their sins. People who are God's enemies to begin with, like we all are actually. That's what the Bible teaches, that as we're born into this world to begin with, we're all the enemies of God because we're living in a world that's fallen, in which sin has invaded the planet and spoiled the world. You don't have to look very far around to see that that must be true. We're not by nature the children of God, though he is our creator. Because of our sin. And Paul, in one of his letters, he puts it like this. He says, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead. He loved us when we were dead in our trespasses, in our sins. And now, he says, he has made us alive. God has done it. He's made us alive together with Christ. Do you catch that? It's the new birth. God gives spiritual life, he gives new birth to those who have no claim on God at all, who by their sin have shown themselves to be the enemies to God. You know, we were all spiritually dead. We were a bit like the pirates of the Caribbean in a kind of living death. Dead but walking to the devil's drumbeat. Dead but with no peace. And no hope of release. And the justice of God would have been well served if we'd stayed like that forever. But the new birth is wonderful proof of the love of God. By the new birth, we are connected to Jesus. And in his great Christmas passage in his gospel, John says, in him, that's in Jesus Christ, was life. And that life was the light of men. He's saying, without Jesus, there is no spiritual life. Without Jesus, there is no spiritual light. But Jesus has come so that we might have life, a different quality of life, and that we might have it abundantly or fully. And the way in which it works, that's what we're learning about this morning, the way in which it works is by the new birth. The Holy Spirit quickens us and brings us to life. So if you are spiritually alive today, then you owe that life and that freedom to the sheer love of God made known in the gift of Jesus. So that's the first thing you need to know. The love of God comes to people who are dead in their sins. The second thing you need to know is that the love of God comes to people to call them the children of God. That's what John is saying here. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us to call us the children of God. That's why he's so surprised. And when it says we're called the children of God, it doesn't mean that we were the children of God but weren't called that. It means we weren't the children of God. We were like the rest of the world, mentioned in verse 1, who didn't know God. You see, it's one thing to know about God. We all know about God. But it's quite another thing to be in a relationship with God, to know him personally, to be in a friendship with the living God. And John is saying that we were dead so far as that was concerned. We were outside the family of God. And then God made us his children. We became his children. You ask, well, how does God do that? And the answer is, he calls us. He calls us by the new birth. We're born again into the family of God. And only by being born again are we delivered out of the miserable condition that our sin causes us to be in. And only by being born again can we look forward to enjoying the good things that we won't enjoy if we're not born again. The good things that John mentions in verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. What a prospect. We're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now you may have a certain image in your mind about a born-again Christian. You may have got it from friends or people you know. You may have got it from the God Channel on telly. I don't know where you got it from. But you may have got a certain image in your mind about a born-again Christian. What I'm saying to you today is forget it. Wipe it out. Start again in your thinking about being born again. Because the image that you may have got in your mind may be quite a negative kind of an image. And it won't help you at all. Just remember only this, that Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a person is born again, he cannot, she cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I didn't say that. That's what Jesus said. Unless a person is born again, he cannot. It's impossible for him to see the kingdom of God. But if you are born again, then you will see the kingdom of God. So how does it happen? That's such an important question. And the Bible tells us it's like the Holy Spirit of God, the breath of God breathing on you. The same Holy Spirit, the very same Holy Spirit who overshadowed the womb of Mary, overshadows you. So that your life, your soul becomes alive. It's like the wind blowing on you. You can't see it, but you can feel it. You don't know where it's come from, you don't know where it's going, but you feel its freshness on your face. And you feel it deep in your soul. Christianity touches the soul. It reaches the parts which other religions can't reach, which other philosophies of life can't reach. If you're not born again, you'll remain unsaved, you'll remain under the wrath of God. If you are born again, then you are connected to the life of Jesus, and one day you will see him as he is, and you will even be like him. The love of God comes to people to call them the children of God. The third thing we need to learn is this. What is the connection between the birth of Jesus and our new birth? This is what makes it a Christmas subject. What's the connection between the birth of Jesus and our new birth? Why couldn't God just have caused us to be born again and then made us like him without Jesus? But the fact is, you know, that the new birth and all its effects, faith, being justified, being made right with God, being purified, they could never happen without the incarnation, without Jesus coming into this world. The new birth couldn't happen without Christmas. So in chapter 5 of this letter, in verse 1, John says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Faith in Jesus. Whoever believes that Jesus is the true Messiah is born of God. To believe that this incarnate Jewish man from Nazareth is the promised divine Messiah is essential to the new birth. The Holy Spirit causes people to be born again by creating faith in Jesus, the incarnate God-man. Just look at chapter 4 in the same letter, verse 2. "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." That's Christmas, isn't it? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Faith in the flesh and blood, birth and life and death of Jesus is the sign in you that the new birth has happened. So there's a simple question. Do you believe? Do you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ? Do you look upon that baby in Bethlehem this Christmas and you say, "Yes, he is God incarnate. He is the Son of God. He is the Saviour of the lost. He is the very Saviour that I need." Faith like that, you know, isn't just a whim. It's not just seasonal. It's not just something you do once a year. Because faith in Jesus connects you to Jesus. And to experience eternal life, you must be in union with Jesus, in a living relationship with him. Jesus said on one occasion, he said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread," we all know what it is to eat something, you partake of it. "If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." In other words, if you believe in me, if you really believe in me, you will have life. "And the bread that I will give for the life of the world," he said, "is my flesh." My flesh. He's talking about his coming again. His incarnation. His bodily existence. Jesus gives us life through the incarnate life he lived and the death he died in the flesh. So if you're going to live, you need to be connected to Jesus Christ. That's the simple truth. If you're going to have eternal life, you must be connected to Jesus Christ. And the only way in which you can be connected to Jesus Christ is to believe in him. To believe in him in your hearts. He was born so that you would receive him as your Saviour. He was born so that you would know the power of the new birth in your own life. And that's exactly what John says in chapter 5 and verse 10. He says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. At Christmas time, God gives us a testimony about his Son. In this baby, in this manger, God is speaking to you. God is giving to you the Saviour that you so much need. This is the testimony, John says in verse 11, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. If you want eternal life, there's only one place to find it. It's in the Son of God. In him was life. You need to be connected to Jesus. And the way for you to be connected to Jesus is by faith in him. And when you believe in him, you show that you're truly born again. So the last thing I want to say to you this morning is that Christmas can only really be enjoyed through the new birth. It can only really be enjoyed through the new birth. No Christmas, no new birth. No incarnation, no regeneration. No vital connection with Jesus. You see, what I want you to understand, men and women, is that Christianity isn't just vague. It isn't just a sort of floating spirituality. It's not sentiment. It's not just something we do once a year at special festivals like Christmas and Easter. Christianity is just not like that at all. Some people think, well, it doesn't matter what you believe. Christianity tells us that it does matter what you believe. It's a matter of knowing who Jesus is. We receive him. We believe in him. We come like the shepherds did and the wise men. And we say, thanks be to God for his spectacular gift, for his wonderful gift. And as we believe in him, we see the glory of the Word made flesh. We see what God is like. And we all know, don't we, that God really belongs on a throne. That's where God belongs. And yet, where do we see him? We see him in an animal's feeding trough. That's what a manger is. We see God there in an animal's feeding trough. Why is that? Because he's come to be one of us and for us. God abandons all the protocols in order to come and be with us. And when we look on God in the manger, we see he's there for us. There can be no other reason than that he should be there than for us. And the Holy Spirit quickens us, and we believe in him, and we draw on his grace, and we begin to experience eternal life. Being a Christian is not about exchanging one set of beliefs for another. It's about being born again. It's about experiencing the love of God. It's about abandoning other loves that get in the way of the love of God. What a great love the Father has shown to us in giving us Jesus. What a great obedience and sacrifice the Lord Jesus has made in coming into this world for us. And what a great awakening the Holy Spirit works in us to bring us to faith and to everlasting life. Christmas was not optional for God if he was to save us. And Christmas is not optional for you, because it's the very call of God upon your heart. It's the call of God upon your life for you to be born again. And if you are born again, to celebrate with John, behold, what amazing love that God has shown to us, that we should be called the children of God. We should be in the family of God. May God bless his word.